Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Never more to roam. Open now thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. Reading from Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked some time, when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Let's pray in that name of him who is all in all. For the one, as the first verse we read, who is our life. He must be our life, or we have no life in us. Let's pray in his name. Our Father, we do come to thee, asking thee to teach us to pray in that name which is above every name, that name of him who is rightly called Lord, who is also rightly called Jesus, who is called the Christ, and who has been given many other names, also rightly describing him as Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Father, we know all these things are true, and they all describe him who is one with thee, on thy right hand, seated there, till his enemies be made his footstool. And we pray, Father, that that may be done now to us and to others, that we might be made his footstool, that we might not only have our life hid with him, but also that we might reckon ourselves dead, mortify that which is contrary to thy kingdom, to thy will, to thy holy ways, to all of that which is true in Scripture, and that which, if left to ourselves, we would rest to our own destruction. We pray that thou wilt now teach us and others all the church from the Scripture, that it might be revived, that it might be a true witness in the world, and then that others might also be taught, till the ends of the earth hear and fear and turn unto thee. We pray that, Father, for the whole world. We pray it for Jew and for Gentile. We pray it for all nations and tongues and tribes, that as thou hast commanded, Lord Jesus, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in thy name to all nations. We pray that many laborers might be called and sent even now. We pray, Father, that those who do preach thy word, and especially in difficult places, and are persecuted for it, may be especially blessed. We pray also that thou wilt bless thy word, which thou hast said, thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. We pray that many that are not hearing it, but that have it in their homes, will read it. Many that have neither will remember it. They've heard it, some of them as children, turning away from it. We pray that thou wilt bring us and others all back to thee through Christ. We also give thanks, Father, for thy mercies in sending the rain on the just and the unjust, the sunshine as well. We give thanks for the bountiful harvest where it is given, and we pray for those who do not have these blessings, that are in starvation and hunger and suffering. We pray for the war-torn lands. We pray for those injured, sorrowing, fearful. We pray for those, Father, that need thee in other ways, in sickness. We pray for the schools. We pray for government leaders. We pray that they may be called by thee and turned to thee, that they may have the beginning of wisdom, which is the fear of thee. We pray, Father, for all these blessings. Especially we pray for our homes, the many that are troubled and broken. We pray for the children in those homes, that they may be taught of thee in spite of their parents that are wayward. And we pray that many wayward parents might be brought to repentance to one another and to thee through Christ. Amen. As we continue this message of Paul to the church at Colossae and to us as well, if we are in the same blessing as these Colossians were. He writes this to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. Those are the only ones that can be saints. Sometimes we look at people's lives and we call them saints. We say, well, they're really a saint. Well, they may be if they have Christ. But if they do not, though they may have the outside of the cup washed rather clean in the sight of men, they are not saints in the true sense of Scripture. Saints are only sinners that are saved, sinners that are forgiven. As Paul also said to this church, not only do we have these truths that we just read from this third chapter of Christ ascended on the right hand of the Father, and we are to seek those things where Christ is, but also, as the second chapter stated, verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. That is another need that each one of us have. There are many needs. There are many things that we must be taught together, and many things that we must be given together. And then all of us are alike, as the last verse that we read, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. All in him. He alone is the door back to the only true God. Only. And that's eternal life. To know him who is the only true God. Only one. Not many gods. Though we can know many things of God and nature, his power, his Godhead, but we can only know him rightly through his word. And we can only know him in reconciliation, in forgiveness, adoption, through his Son. Yes, his Son. Christ Jesus is the Son of God. Born as a man, later took on in the form of a man, but he is the Son who has been with the Father. As Micah said, he whose goings forth have been of old would be born in Bethlehem. Micah writing it long before it happened. And now this is the Christ that Paul continues to speak of here to this church and to us. We could go back to the beginning, but just go to the first verse of this third chapter. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. The third verse, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. The fourth verse, when Christ, who is our head, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And then again, the last verse that we read, but Christ is all and in all. Christ Jesus the Lord. We go back to the second chapter, the sixth verse. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. We walked contrary to God and contrary to him in times past. We read that from the seventh verse of this third chapter. The ways of disobedience. Paul says, in which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. We walked as blind men. We walked in all kinds of ways. Not even two people alike. And yet all sinners together. All walking in disobedience. If you would take 100 blind men and start them out one at a time, take a hold of their shoulders and say, now go straight ahead, straight that way. Walk in a straight line, all of you together. Would they do it? How long if they were started out apart? One after another, a few feet apart. How long would you have a straight line? not very long. If what we often say about people who do not know where they are would be true, many of them would walk in a circle. They would come back to where they had begun. That has happened for people that are lost in a woods or some other areas. We cannot find the way ourselves. It is only as we read again from chapter 2, verse 6, as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. He's the master builder with the Father. He's the one that shortly before he left this earth said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Shortly before he died, he said, without me, you can do nothing. To the 12 apostles, particularly the 11. The 12th one would soon betray him. And of the other 11, it was equally true. Without me, you can do nothing. Though they had been sent out to preach earlier, when he gave them power over unclean spirits and to heal, they had it for that time, but many times we'd also find them in unbelief and fear in terrible ways, contrary to their master. Peter, especially, when Christ spoke of his suffering, death, resurrection, Peter said, this shall not be through thee. Christ had to say, get thee behind me, Satan. He wasn't walking in the right way with Christ, the Savior of Peter, the sinner. Peter didn't know that part. And we need to know every part which God both teaches us and gives us. We may not know it perfectly. Many things we may not be instructed in. But what we do hear and what we do read, we must submit to it, not rebel at it, not rush the scriptures to our own destruction, not be in a place, as Paul said to Timothy, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. If we are guilty of that, then this has no place in our life. We will not hear rightly from the beginning to the end what God does with us, for us, through us, and then leads us on. We go back to chapter 1, verse 13, who delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We were in the power of darkness. What can a man in the dark do with the powerful darkness of Satan? And then to think people say, I chose, I made a decision, I this, I that. Who is that I? A person dead in sin. A person who in Adam died. A person who in Christ must be made alive. Delivered in the power of darkness by the Father, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He takes us out of one and puts us in the other. And as we can read Paul's letter to the Ephesians, made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I can remember reading that one time and a person said with a question, made us? As if God doesn't make us do anything. If he didn't make me sit in heavenly places in Christ, I wouldn't be standing here today. I don't know what I'd be doing, but I would not want to tell you the truth. I would not believe the truth myself. That comes from God. That comes because of Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. That comes of the one that, as Paul said here, and let's not forget the first verse with the if as the first word of the chapter, if ye then be risen with Christ. It all hinges on that. Risen with Christ. That's what Peter meant when he spoke on the day of Pentecost, when they were pricked in their heart and said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." The Spirit was working mightily there on the day of Pentecost. We can see that in the whole circumstance, the unfolding of it. Peter could say, "This is that which was promised by Joel. I will pour out my Spirit." Christ had promised it earlier. He says, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." And now it was there, and the Word was going in power. But they yet needed more of that power to be assured that their sins were forgiven, to have the witness of the Spirit. "But in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Let's remember that before we can enter into this third chapter, before we can have what is stated here, we must have the remission of sins. We must have justification. This third chapter is sanctification. In justification, we're brought into favor with God. Sins forgiven. Adopted into His family. The witness of the Spirit, so we can cry, "Abba, Father." And so we can know that Christ has died for my sin. It's one thing to believe that He's the Savior of the world, but it's another thing to have, as Paul said here, "as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord." I believe that that's a greater blessing than going from earth to heaven. That is coming from darkness to light. And that's a greater difference from that darkness to light than it is from Christ to heaven. As Paul could say, "For me to live is Christ." We just read, Christ is all in all. Is He that to you? Christ is all in all. Heaven will come. But when Paul says, "For me to live is Christ," he says, "To die is gain." Yes, a gain. But I don't believe it's the difference. As God taking us from darkness to the kingdom of His dear Son, which is light. And we are to then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We are to do then, as we read last week, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." He describes what you and I are like, each one of us. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. If we can think we can escape the first ones, I'm sure none of us can escape the last one. As Paul said, "I had not known sin except the law had said, thou shalt not covet." All of Israel was coveting when they were described as a murmuring people, dissatisfied with what God gave, wanted other than His wise and wonderful leadings. And that's idolatry. Then Paul goes on, "For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." In the Old Testament, we have it written what God did to the children of disobedience. We have it written what God did when He sent the flood. We have it written what God did in Sodom and Gomorrah. We have it written what God did to Pharaoh and all his host. We have it written what God did earlier to Sodom and Gomorrah, the time of Abraham. And again and again and again, we have it written when God's hand came down. This one died, that one died, sometimes many died. We no longer have it written, but people are dying. Terrible leaders have died. and if they died in the way they lived. They're in hell today. They're under damnation. We don't know how many may have repented in their last hours that we may not have heard of or read of. But without that, without having received Christ Jesus the Lord, without a life of sanctification to prove it, not to give it, but just to show it. Like James says, you show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. We can only work out what God worked in. And we ought to know that if that isn't there, then we stay where we were, dead in sin, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. We are a nation of disobedience. We are a nation that killed 3,000 unborn every day. Then we talk about when someone else does something to one person, or a few people, or a few people die every day in war, which is terrible. And sometimes wars which have cost the lives of a few thousand, terrible. But less sometimes in a number of years than in one day when by government order, by so-called rights, 3,000 innocent children die in this nation every day. And how many more at other nations? Our homes are breaking. All of it is connected with the wickedness of this. And not only do we have what we saw there last week, but after God by Paul tells us that his wrath cometh on the children of disobedience, in which we also walked sometime when you lived in them. Do you know you did? If you don't know you did, you still may be there. If you know you did, there can be forgiveness and change. And then there can be, as Paul's letter continues, but now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds. That needs to be done, first of all, in the church, and has to be done in our home. And only then can it be done in any nation, including our own. May God awaken us and revive the church, and may you hear his word. And if you don't hear it, his wrath is on you. If you hear it, flee to Christ.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise